This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station. Ringgit and Sense on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, I'm Tan Cheng Han, and you're tuned into Ringgit and Sense, the show that's all about personal finance. This morning, we have Desmond Chong, Manager of Financial Education with the Credit Counseling and Debt Management Agency, AKPK. Good morning, Desmond.
Hi,
welcome to the program.
Yeah, good morning to everyone.
So today, we're going to talk about what you spoke about on the latest episode of Room It. That's the video series available on BFM's Facebook page about buying a house, right?
Yes.
The financial considerations before you make that purchase. So let's start with some of the key considerations that listeners need to know about before they buy a house.
Okay, before you buy a house, there are two aspects that you can look at. One is the financial aspect, of course. The other one is the non-financial aspect. Okay, let's talk about the non-financial aspect first. Very easy for everyone to understand. Of course, the first question you might want to ask yourself, where will be the location? Where I want to buy the house? Is it near my house? Is it a new area? Is it no man land? So you have to decide first. So after that, you might want to consider whether you want to go for the landed property or I want to go for the high-rise building, example like condominiums or apartments. Okay, but condominium-wise, there are two. You have to be careful, service apartments or the normal apartments or condominiums. After that, if you already decided, I want to go for a condo, okay, if there's a condo, please check. If let's say it's a sub-sales, okay, that means sub-sale, you buy it from the second owners. Is it the master title already being given? Or is it a strata title? It's not ready yet. If a strata title is not ready yet for the purchaser like you and me, simply means that be prepared extra money. You have to pay the MOT again.
What's MOT again?
The transfer. The transfer means transfer to your own name. Yeah, okay. So after that, you might want to consider, I want to borrowing. I want to go for the bank. So you have to ask yourself, is the property is a leasehold or a freehold? Okay. So that decide what type of financial factors later. Of course, the last one, people may not think about that, but I think it's an important issue to brought up for the awareness. The developer reputations. Okay, whether how well you know about these developers. Of course, now you won't see any undeveloped property at now, but if you back to 1998, there are quite a number of developments. It's not developed. It was not developed, but the loan already approved. It mean what? It means that you still have to serve the loan.
That's right. Even though the property is not there.
Yes, yeah. That's right. So many people came to AKPK still ask these questions. If the property not developed, should I be responsible for it? Yes. The moment you sign the SMP, the moment the loan transfer, that is your responsibility. So please also check the developer reputations. Make sure it's a reputable one. You can see the project surrounding already been completed by them. Does it mean that I shouldn't buy anything from the first developers or mean the first time developers? The answer probably no, but you have to do some background checking. So the first developer, of course, you have to do more homework compared to the season one. They already have many projects.
Right. So again, the idea is that we need to take on board all these non-financial considerations because ultimately it's going to feed into the total cost of how much that property is worth, correct?
Yes.
So talk to us about leasehold versus freehold. Which one should we gravitate towards, or is there one that's a better investment than the other?
Of course, many people will ask if there are no difference between leasehold and freehold, as many people told you. So actually, they're not much of different. Actually, there are difference. One is freehold, as the words by itself, is freehold. I mean, free of time. If leasehold means you have to depend on how many years for leasing. Is it 99? Is it 60? That means there is a threshold to look at it. So when there's a limitation about the time, the bank will look at different things. Okay, leasehold and freehold actually is a two different subject, of course. Then it have to depends on how many years. Okay, the bank, of course, is prefer the freehold. And for resale value-wise, when people know this is a freehold, I think you can, maybe you can use that, maybe the after sales or maybe the sub-sales later. Is it a freehold or leasehold?
Then going back to that other point about the title, right, whether it's a master title or strata title, how does those considerations feed into the purchase price?
Especially this is a sub-sale. You are buying not directly from developer. You're buying directly from developer. Most likely it's a master title. You have to wait for your time. So if you are going for investment, Okay, any cost coming is my cost of borrowing, or it's got cost of purchase. So I better consider, are there any way that I can reduce my cost of investment? One of them is you have to check whether it's a strata title ready or is strata title not ready. Okay.
So we have spoken about freehold versus leasehold, talk about the status of the title, obviously the developer's reputation as well. Okay, you know, make sure that they can deliver that asset and on time, right? Location, I think that's a given, right?
Yes.
Because obviously if it's in a prime area in the Klang Valley, that's going to drive your cost up. What are some other considerations?
Landed property or a high-rise property. I think it's a matter of lifestyle. What type of lifestyle you want to go for? Okay, of course, youngster nowadays, I will prefer maybe a better lifestyle if you link to condominiums. Okay, but do not forget nowadays, even the link house or the landed property, they build out their own facilities as well. So they also learn their lessons. I can offer you swimming pool if you want it. Everything is in the course. Okay, so you have to consider what type of lifestyle. Is it a landed property for you? But for the old generations, as people say, if I own a house, I must see the land.
So let's talk about the idea then about hanging on to this landed property, you know, actually having that physical land right under your property as opposed to high rise. I mean, is that idea being diluted away, you know, given that we are seeing more and more high rises with some attractive amenities being offered out there?
Of course, you can first think about if I own a landed property, anything within my compound is mine and I can do whatever things I wanted to do as long as within my compound. But if you are saying the same compound, but think about that, there are 40-story buildings, okay, or maybe 1,000 over unit there, it's not yours, okay? You can play with the unit up there, but it's not towards the land. So that's the difference, okay? So many, I would say the old generation still thinking that I own this piece of land, okay, it's up to me to do whatever I want.
Yeah.
Actually, landed property normally is generate a higher appreciation on the house price, okay? And the condominiums, normally you can expect a higher rental yield, okay? Normally, there's the two major difference. Okay, but all these factors, again, depends on locations, how's the maintenance and how is the project look like and which is the areas. Okay,
talk to us through the idea about buying versus renting, because stereotypically, when it comes to Asians and their investments, they still like that property. But if you look at, say, Western countries, they are perhaps shying away from that idea and are totally fine with renting. Talk to us through the merits of buying versus renting.
Okay, you must see this from this, from the point of, if I wanted to buy a property, what would be the cost of the property? If I'm going to pay a lot on the property, okay, of course, if you think about why not I land it. But if the renting price also not cheap, okay, then there may be a better option for you. Why not you suffer now, pay for the monthly repayments. Later, you own the properties. The only difference between these two is down payments. Okay, one is without down payments. The others is like I have to come up with at least 20%, 10% of the total price of the house. Okay, but do not forget that even you go for the rentings, you still have to pay down payments, deposit. Of course, when you are not owning any property, you have the freedoms. Your freedom for a choice, I can move out any times. But you have to ask yourself the first question, why I want to own a house? It's also freedoms. Okay, I want to have a sense of security. I want freedom. I don't want to be chased or be asked to move out every time and the house owner thinking that I want to get it back. Okay, so it's also another sense of freedoms.
Well, it comes at a tremendous cost, right? Owning a home, especially for those of us in the Klang Valley, it is just not cheap and it's not going to get any cheaper, right?
Yeah, I agree with you. That's why when buying a house is a major decision. It's just not like you're going to the bazaar, you decide I want to buy this. You have to take your homework, do your homework, spend some time. Yeah.
And that's why you're here on this episode of Ringgit and Cents. All right, Desmond, we've got to take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll further flesh out all these considerations that need to happen before we purchase a home. I'm speaking to Desmond Chong, Manager of Financial Education with the Credit Counseling and Debt Management Agency, AKPK. I'm Tan Chung Han, and this is Ringgit and Cents on BFM 89.9. Stay tuned. Thanks for staying with us here on Ringgit and Cents on BFM 89.9. I'm Tan Chung Han, and this show is all about personal finance. Today, we're going to consider the financial factors that must be taken into account before buying a home. And to help us along that process, we have Desmond Chong, Manager of Financial Education with the Credit Counseling and Debt Management Agency, AKPK. So Desmond, in the first half, you outlined some financial and non-financial factors to take into account. Let's also talk about affordability and what it actually means. So when I'm out there in the market, I see all these glitzy pamphlets, you know, all these very attractive promotions, but then ultimately it's got to come down to what I can afford, right? So help us define what is affordable.
Yeah, the layman terms is how deep is your pocket. So which items that you can afford to, of course, I have to check about whether can you pay for the property, let's say a cash. Okay, but normally say, come on, a few hundred thousand, a million, how can I pay by cash?
Yeah.
Of course, if that's not the case, that means you have to borrow from the banks. When you try to borrow from the banks, what the bank will ask for is, do you prepare to give some down payments? Okay, the down payment for the first house and the second house is actually 10 to 20%. The third house onwards will be 30%. Mm. So $1 million property, that means you need to have at least 100,000 to 200,000 cash. So are you ready with that cash? If you are ready, you say, okay, please, not yet. You need to get another 5% extra. Why? There's a stamp duty. There's other miscellaneous costs you have to prepare. How about the renovations? Another 5%.
Furnishings?
Yes, exactly. So that make up total about 20 to 30%. Now you can ask yourself, do I have 300 to 400,000 in my bank account? Otherwise, I wouldn't be able to purchase $1 million asset. If I can't, then this mean what? That mean you have to look for the selling price below $1 million.
We often hear this rule of thumb about how your home mortgages, and we'll get into the loans and interest rates in just a bit, but generally speaking, how much you spend on housing should be about a third of your monthly income. Is that a fair benchmark?
There's an industry benchmark you can look for, but if you're looking for the banks can lend you up to 65% of DSR, debt service ratio. What is debt service ratio? Actually, there's the formulas of your total monthly payments divided by your total gross monthly income.
Okay, let's try that again. So total monthly debt repayments divided by total monthly income.
Yes, that's right. So multiply by 100%, then you can get roughly how many percent. The bank can lend you maximum to 65. But at KPK, we are trying to advise you that not more than 40%.
Right.
You might be wondering why. Why? If the bank can offer me 65, why not I take the 65? Why must I take the 40? Imagine, I give you a scenario. If your income is 3,000, you go for the max, let's say 60%. So it's about 1,008. 1,008 minus by your 3,000, you only have a balance of 1,002. Ask yourself this question. Can I survive with this 1,002 as a disposable income? Mm-hmm. If the answer is no, okay, you know why? Because you only have $40 per day. Okay, you have to cover for your three meals. Okay, you have a girlfriend, you have to dating, you have to spend. Okay, all these costs, I don't think you can able to manage it. Let's say it's only at $40. That is the reason why we always say if 40%, you should be the ideal way for your DSR.
And keeping in mind that the DSR, the debt servicing ratio, is for all debt, not just housing.
Not just housing, all the payments.
So 40%, that's the goal then.
Yes.
Okay. So now that we have an idea about how much to set aside for the initial payment and how much for our monthly loan repayments, let's talk about the different loan offerings that are out there in the market.
Okay, basically you have to understand in Malaysia there are two banking systems. One is conventional, the other is Islamic banking system. Let's say we talk about the conventional banking system. Okay, so you want to get a housing loan, there are two types of, maybe some other bank offer different type, but in general there are two types. One is the level payments. Level payments means that every month, okay, you pay the same. For how long? Normally, housing loan is again depend on your age. Let's say you are young, you can get a longer periods.
Like up to 35
years. 35 years is the max, okay. So let's say 35 years, every month 1,000, simple formula. You pay everyone 1,000, pay for 35 years, and the house belongs to you. Okay, the other one is like flexible payments or flexible loan or some call it mortgage one and so on and so forth. It simply means that when you make your payments, the money is not locked. Okay, that means when you make enough money, let's say you pay a little bit extra, this money is going to your savings side of the bank's account. The other balance of it will go into your house repayments. Okay, instead of maybe one day you're thinking that I need to have more money, I need to cash out some more money. Conventional loan, you can only do one thing, refinance your house. Okay, that means you have to go through the process, the legal documents, everything again. It's quite cost consuming. Sometimes for many businessmen out there or someone who need the money now, it's not the cost, it's the time. I want the money now. Right. Okay, your refinancing process will take quite a while. If you have all these flexible payments, that means you can cash out the account from the extra money that you pay. You can cash out and use. But let me alert you with one thing. Of course, this sounds good. Okay, money I pay anytime I want, I take it out. Okay, you might be not able to finish your repayment within the 35 years because you cash in, cash out.
Right.
Okay, so that is another factors you must look at. If you are not the type of person very disciplined, okay, I only pay to the root account and I won't take the money. So better not try the flexible payment.
Okay. But then the idea of, say, if you have that extra money, why don't you pay down your principal, right? Is that a sound piece of advice? Or if I have the extra money, would I be better off, say, investing elsewhere to get better returns?
Yeah, there's many advice given by the financial planner to the borrower out there. You have extra money, pay the repayment. Again, need to alert you, not every repayment you pay extra will be accepted as extra payment to lock down the principal by the banks. Okay, example, this is the conventional loan. I want you to pay 1,000. You pay 1,500. If you not inform the banks, what happened to the 500 ringgit? Okay, I do not know it's actually for the extra. Okay, I just think that you are so generous, want to pay extra. I wait for you another 500. So that 500 actually not attract any interest. Okay.
So you got to make sure you tell the banks ahead of time that, hey, this extra 500, I want it to go towards either reducing my principal or perhaps even future payments.
But if you have the plan to pay extra 1,005, okay, for a longer period, I mean, let's say for the balance 10 years, inform the bank will say, I will change the contract, I change the, maybe the interest calculation and so on and so forth to make it 1,000, from 1,000 to 1,005. That is the way how to inform. But you are just like, I like it, I do it 1,005. Next month, I do it 1,002. Okay? That is not work this way. You have to inform the bank and the calculation, the contract, why I have to change.
Right. For myself, I have been paring down the principal on my loan, really. And so I've seen my monthly payments actually been halved over the last 3 years or so. Again, is that a wise strategy or should that money be better used elsewhere?
Let's say you have, I make it a scenario, you got extra money. Shall I pay for the money, the what you call the housing loan, or shall I invest in others? Of course, you can see from the, let's say this others investment, do it attract higher than my BR interest rate? If they are, of course, you can make your own choice as long as you can bear the risk. Okay? But if you wanted to say that, then again, you have to benchmark other things. For example, the EPF. They give you 6.9. Okay? Is it safer I park under the EPF? Or should I go on the ASB? Or should I go others? Which can give me the safer returns. All this, we are on the other aspect of it. It's called investment. Okay, so when going back to the housing loan, if you have extra money, of course, okay, it saves you a lot. If you literally can convince the bank, I want to give you like higher repayment every month, okay, at least you can look at how to cut short. Okay, I don't want the 35 years now. Okay, I want to cut down to 15 years. You might ask me, a layman might ask, okay, from 35, I cut it down to 15. So what's the benefit? The benefit, you can maybe be able to go for early retirements or you can get your second asset. Because once you pay down all your repayments, I mean all your housing loan, it means what? Your debt service ratio is going back to zero.
Zero, that's right.
Yeah, then you can re-borrow and reinvest.
Sum it up for us then with the little time that we have. You started off with outlining the financial and non-financial considerations. What is a key message that we need to know before actually purchasing a house?
I can give you a simple 6 steps, okay? Step by step. The first step, you have to decide what type of property you want. Step one, define what is your what type of property, your financial goal, okay? Second step, you can actually do some analysis. Okay, analyze it. Which area? Spend some time. Don't waste your time, your weekend to watch movie alone. Okay? Go and do some development. Go to the developer roadshow and all this. Get your figure right first. And then the third one is gather all the info after analyze. Okay? Gather all the information. Number four, the fourth step is you have to start study all the info in detail. Okay. And then the fifth step is don't wait. Execute the plan.
Really? Okay? Don't wait.
Don't wait. Execute the plan. You already have a study 1 to 4 and they come to fifth step. But many, many people nowadays, they want to invest only. They don't want to do the follow-up. Mm. Okay. They thought investment only for one time. No, there's a sixth step. Number six step, review and monitoring. You have to start review and check your investment, whether it's helping you to generate more yield or what, compared to different asset classes.
Mm. I mean, at the end of the day, people view houses either for own stay or for investment, right?
Yep, that's right.
Fundamentally, which one has to come first?
There's actually no rule of thumb saying, should I invest first, should I buy, should I just rent it first? Let's say if I rent the property, let's say it's only 500 ringgit. Okay, the other one give me 1,000 yield. I think you should continue renting, okay,
yeah.
And invest the other one. Okay, depends on what type of saving that you're going to get, what type of return you're going to get.
Well, as we continue reviewing and monitoring, I'm sure you'll continue coming back on the program to help us through this process. Thank you so much for taking the time to speak to us. That was Desmond Chong, Manager of Financial Education with the Credit Counseling and Debt Management Agency, AKPK. Don't forget, this very topic is addressed on the latest video episode of Roomit. That's R-U-M-I-T. It's actually the last episode in the Roomit series. That's available on the BFM Facebook page. That's www.facebook.com/BFM Radio. Be sure to check out the latest and also past episodes as well. I'm Tan Chung Han for BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to BFM.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.